Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 7. Remember last week we were in Matthew 7. I'm taking a little break from my expository since we just finished up with the book of Job. And going through the teachings of Christ. One of the interesting things about these teachings of Christ, you know, they're not always what we would call happy or feely good teachings. They're teachings that point the finger at us. They're teachings that are, in a sense, condemning us of wrong thought and wrong action. As I listen to this, I don't always see Christ speaking in gentle terms always to everybody at every turn. There are many times where He does this. But there are many times where He is speaking harshly of the sin of either action or wrong inaction in our lives. I'm going to be reading down from verses 1 through 13 this morning. And this is a section that speaks on traditions and commandments. And so here reads God's Word. Now when the Pharisees gathered to Him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of His disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots, copper vessels, and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Him, "Why do you, your disciples, not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And He said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy to you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And He said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me in Corban, that is given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. In many such things you do.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank You again for this portion of Your Word this morning. We pray that You would bless it to our hearts and use it in our lives. And this we do in Christ's name. Amen. Traditions play a large part in our lives. I was speaking to Elder Rayburn about this before worship today, and that even in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, we have traditions. And not that traditions are all bad, but when traditions run contrary to what the Word of God teaches, then we have a problem with this. What we have a problem here is that from the time that God gave the law to His people until the time that Christ came, His people, the people of Israel, had gone back and forth so many times from loving the true God to loving the gods of their heart or false gods of other lands, and being in exile now and again, that they had adopted many different traditions. And the Pharisees, I remind you, and this is something we always need to be careful of as well. Even today in the church, they made laws to help you keep the law. And so sometimes they would have three laws to make sure that you never got to this place of sin. This will help you. One of their traditions that you weren't able to walk any distance on Sunday. That you weren't able to do anything. You couldn't light a candle. You couldn't do anything that might be considered taking you to the place where you actually did some work. And Christ talked about this too as well. What if your donkey fell over and needed help? Would you just let it lay there and die because it's Sunday? Christ healed on the Sabbath because it was right to do. The traditions of men taught something different, though. That doing this sort of thing, that's against the law. But this was the problem. This was the traditions of men as held up against the commandments of God. We still have the same problem today in our church. We have been warned again and again about this thing. Last week we looked at Matthew 7, and we were looking at the golden rule, which was based upon the law. It carries some stuff. And we talked about building our house upon the firm foundation, the one that would withstand the storms, as opposed to the one that was built in the sand that would come crashing and tumbling down. Christ gives us so many different warnings and so many different ways He presents the truth of Scripture to us, the truth of life to us, that we need to be able to look at this and say, what are we building our foundation on? Is our foundation built upon the firm things of the truth of the Word of God? He uses the term here where he says, again, quoting from Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments or the precepts of men." And he makes it very clear that the commandments of men or the precepts of men are not good. But he's also making it clear that doctrine, good doctrine, is good. And so what are we building our lives upon? You know, I looked at this and think about, are we like these people who would not take care of our mothers and fathers? Are we like the people who would not bother to reach out to those who are suffering and in great need? We, even in the church today, many people say this. They say, well, I'd like to help the poor. But some of those people that are poor, they deserve to be poor. They put themselves in that situation. Do you know that some of the people who were poor during the times of Christ put themselves in that situation? It wasn't all Roman induced or something that came on it. Some of it was their own fault. So we have our own traditions in the church. Well, we'll help people that we get to know. But how many do we get to actually know so we can help them? Or do we just then say, well, I don't have time to get to know any of them, so let's just put that aside and maybe I'll get around to it someday. And then we never help anyone. It's strange because I know that I've met people in my life. And this is a picture of this word that's used here. This korban is a Hebrew or Aramaic word which talks about making a vow and setting aside a certain portion for God's stuff and leaving the parent to care for themselves. In other words, and we do the same thing sometimes, because I've told people at times, don't give sacrificially beyond your tithe in any way if you need to take care of your parents. If your parents are living in their destitute and poverty, and you're going, well, but I have to give to God's work. No, take care of your parents. God has given them to you. Even if they're not good parents all the time, they're your parents. Now, some may argue with me on this and say, well, this and that. But the Word of God makes it clear. God tells us to take care of our families. You leave the commandment of God and hold it to the tradition of men. Now, I know I have a real struggle with this in much of the church today, because I see so much of the church, at least in America, where I'm aware of how it's run, has pretty much left the commandments of God to themselves. In fact, many say today, even people who will say, "I'm absolutely a firm and professing and strong Christian," will say the fourth commandment has no place today in the church. That one is now null and void. Where does it teach that in the Bible? Where did Christ give us that example and say this is done away with? In fact, he didn't say, he said just the opposite. I came to fulfill all this, and not one bit of this is gone. So how can we do that? We leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And oftentimes we hold to the tradition of men not because even building up, just because it's convenient. I've seen in the last 15 years of my own life where many churches have started Thursday evening worship services or Saturday evening worship services so that people can go do whatever they want on Sunday. Again, we have just abolished the fourth commandment with that. We have said this doesn't count. I need my day of fun, is what it comes down to. I anger people when I say that. People get mad at me. Say, "No, it's not, you know, I have things that I have to do. Like sleep in and do other things that you would like to do." But God has not given us the option in our own lives to choose our Sabbath day for ourselves. This has now become the tradition of men. And it's funny how this has come into the Protestant church in many cases, because it came right directly out of the Catholic Church. They were the ones who started the Saturday evening worship service, and then it crept in. He says, "You have a fine way." That's an interesting phrase. You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish. In fact, what he's saying here is you have to reject God's commandment to establish this. And trust me, Jesus was in no manner commending these men at all, these religious leaders, these men who were supposed to be the men of God. He was telling them, "You're so far off course here, because we have evil motives. We have to guard ourselves. We have to watch ourselves in our lives." And Jesus is teaching them this. Here he's telling them this, not just to point out their wickedness to them, but he's pointing this out to them so that there might be some in there who would hear him and say, "Wait, we have indeed done this. We're more concerned with washing our hands, with using the right hand for this and the left hand for this. We're more concerned with not talking or communicating or touching these people than we are about telling them about the truth of the God we know." Remember, God had always told his people to share those. We sing in the Psalms, to sing about the mighty things he has done. That's not, we're not just supposed to be singing them to each other. This is part of the problem we have in the church today. We love talking about Jesus with each other, but we don't love talking about Jesus with those who most need to hear about him. We have got caught up in our own traditions. He says, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles his father and mother must surely die.'" That's a harsh command. That was pretty much saying, and it wasn't saying, by the way, that if you have a kid who once or twice says no to you, that you kill them. I don't know. It's interesting. We don't know exactly how often this was used or enacted, but we know that it was at times. We do know that the main picture here is that continual rebellion of children against their parents, what he was speaking of there. And we know that was hard. And we know we don't see so much of that in the New Testament. Although we do see the picture of them getting ready to stone the harlot. Or a woman accused of being the harlot. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you have gained from me in Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his mother or father. How has the tradition of men taken us from doing what is right to God? Thus making void in what we do sometimes with our traditions and what we do if we go into areas of building our foundations upon false doctrines, then we make void the Word of God by our traditions that you have handed down. And the words that he closes with here, and many such things you do. These are hard words. And then he goes on in another portion here. And I want to kind of just give consideration here, because what we're seeing Christ doing is being gracious. He is sharing the truth with his people. Not all of these are what we would call good people, and many of them he knew would never turn. But he's telling them the truth. He's pointing out to them the error of their ways. And how do you think they were receiving this? Do you think that they were looking up and saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, for straightening us out? They received it about the same way we receive stuff. Whenever somebody says, you're doing something wrong, and we go, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Who are you to tell me what I'm doing wrong? Well, in this course, it's God. It's God, the one who gave them the law, the same one who set it down for them. It says, you had this law, I've given it to you, and look at what you have turned it into. So I want to remind us this morning of our own necessity. And I say this, our own genuine, very real, very important necessity to make sure that our walk in Christ is not based on traditions of men. And that means even as we look at ourselves as a denomination, as a congregation, if we are building our foundation upon these things, we'll crumble. If we are building them upon the things of God, if we are following the true commandments of God as He has laid down, realizing again that the commandments of God, none of them save us, but they direct us. Hal pointed us to the song, instruction I will give to you and teach you as you go. This is what He has promised I will do for you. But we have to be able to take the instruction. We have to be able to apply the teachings. We're not just learning for the sake of learning. We're not just here so that we can say, oh, I feel so good about me today in Christ this Sunday. I'm so blessed. It is not about you just being blessed. It's about you being blessed and blessed in service. That's your life. Again, I reminded you a couple of weeks ago, and I remind you regularly, You aren't your own. You've been bought. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You no longer own your life. You may think you own your life. You may make decisions for your life. But if you're making decisions for your life without first going to God and saying, God, Christ, what do you have for me? Then you're going against those very things you say you believe. Then you are sinning. Because you're acting as if your life is your own. You've been bought. You have been purchased. You have been cherished. And God has purpose in your life. But God has set for us His commandments. God has set for us His doctrines that He has laid down for us. And we get caught up in our traditions. And our traditions, as I said, sometimes they're good traditions and they're in no way evil. But oftentimes, if we're not very, very cautious with our traditions, they can lead into such horrible sin. They can lead us into becoming people who feel as if we have somehow done something to either gain, maintain, or deserve salvation, when in reality we should be quite well aware of just how wicked sinners we are. We've seen time and time again where people who have strayed, people who have loved God, they have strayed and they went away and they have started their own thing. And sometimes these things turn into things that we pass on to others. And then they become these traditions of men that Jesus speaks so harshly against here. So this morning I want to encourage you. Be careful. Make sure that you're reading not only the Word of God, but you're reading it in conjunction with the rest of the Word of God. One of the greatest mistakes I think that I see, not only in the lives of other believers, I find it myself sometimes where I look at something and I'll say, well, this means this. Well, if you look at it in conjunction with the rest of Scripture, sometimes it doesn't. And you have to be willing to go, whoops, I made a mistake. But we need to be able to look at Scripture one part compared with another part. And this is how we build these doctrines or the stepping stones have become doctrines, so that we are looking at the commandments of God and they are being lived out in our lives to our best ability in spite of our sinfulness. Christ gave these warnings to His people because He came for His people. He came for that nation of Israel, for the people in that nation. We understand that that's not every one of them, but He came specifically for that group of people to pronounce to them the truth. He takes them again and again back to what the prophets had said to them. And again, they reject Him. I plead with you this morning, don't reject Christ. Build your life. Build your walk in Christ only upon the Word of God. Let's pray. Father God, we again thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You that we know that Christ came with that wonderful intention of saving people. And yet we know that when He was here, what He saw was not really that pleasing to Him. That the men and women of Israel had strayed. And they had strayed because the teachers had strayed. And Lord, I pray for us as a people who love You and want to serve You, that You would protect us, that You would give us discernment and wisdom as we look at Your Word, that we would understand that there are things that are good to hold on to, and then there are things that we sometimes must let go of because it does not align with Your Word. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to, again, as we looked at last week, build ourselves, our house, on a firm foundation, that rock of Christ, where we would be able to dismiss anything that's not of you and to do so gladly. That you would help us, Lord, in the leaderships in our churches. Lord, that you have given us men who love you, who are committed to you, who are called to this task. Give us wisdom as to what we must or must not do according to what you have set down before us. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning that not only did Christ come to point out the sin in our life, but to point to himself as that one who is the one who is the correction, the one who is able to set things right, because that man, as we are, we would do nothing but evil all day long. So we thank you this morning, Lord. We pray that you will help us to consider again how we have looked at your word this week and help us to look at it more correctly as you have laid it down before us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.